Hello, and welcome to Two Peds in a Pod, the medical education podcast from the Children's Emergency Department in Derby. I'm your host again, Ian Lewins, and this evening I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Hannah Jacob, who's a paediatric registrar and, more importantly, is the chair of the RCPCH Trainee Committee. Good evening, Hannah, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Really interested in sort of thinking about your role as chair of this committee. I guess going back then, what's your day job? What do you do normally for a living?
So I'm an ST6 in general paediatrics. So I am doing a mixture of kind of general and specialty jobs, and with the intention of being a general paediatrician somewhere. At some point.
That sounds about like the state of my planet, your switch. And whereabouts are you based?
So I'm a London trainee, so I'm doing the rotation mostly in North London.
Okay. So how did you come to be chair of the RCPH Trainee Committee, and why, I guess, is the first question?
I think I'd always had an interest in training and education, and I think, to be perfectly honest, particularly in kind of the early years of my training, the only contact I really had with the college was through exams, which I think is quite common for people in their level one training. And as I became kind of a more senior SHO junior registrar, I kind of got a little bit more interested in what was happening, not just at a local level or a regional level, but thinking a little bit more nationally. And I think I, by chance, stumbled upon an advert. So each month the college has a vacancies on committees page. And I saw that they had a vacancy for a recruitment representative on the trainees committee. And so I applied and was very lucky to be successful. And so I've actually been the recruitment representative for the last 3 years. So sitting on the trainees committee, but involved primarily in thinking about recruitment. We've organised foundation events for interested foundation doctors and final year medical students in paediatrics, working to improve the careers pages of the website, and thinking about how we support both medical students and foundation doctors. So we've set up the UK Aspiring Paediatricians, which is the UCAPS, which is kind of an umbrella organisation designed to support medical school paediatric societies and foundation doctors interested in paediatrics and child health. So that's been really exciting and a really good opportunity to get involved with thinking about the future of paediatrics, and also to get to know other fantastic trainees and trainers around the country, as well as the college staff.
Okay. And I mean, you know, as a medical student or in your early years, was it getting involved in committees something that you did a lot of? Is this just sort of natural progression for you, or was it something else?
I don't think that I'm one of those people who kind of particularly thrives on committees. And I suppose that in a way it's a credit to the college and to the trainees committee in particular that I have felt particularly like this was something I wanted to be involved in, because it feels like a really dynamic committee, and actually it feels like the people at the college staff, but also the people, the consultants who hold kind of the positions at college as well, are really interested and engaged with hearing the trainee voice. So I suppose it's a combination of feeling like it's a dynamic committee, but also, which gets things done, but also that that people are listening, and I think that's a really important feature of the committee.
So, I mean, how much kind of commitment do you have to give? You know, as an ST6, you're training lots, you're looking towards consultant jobs. What sort of, somebody looking out saying, that might be interesting, what sort of commitment do you have to give?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends a little bit which of the roles that you do. So I'm now, you know, recently took on the role of chairing the committee, and I suppose that is a bigger time commitment. There's quite a traffic of emails, as you might expect, but also I'm obviously representing the trainees at a number of other meetings, including College Council, which is the kind of overall committee that is kind of overseeing the wider remit of the college and their activities. But I think it depends a little bit. And I think that one of the things that's really important for people to understand and to know, I suppose, is that actually whatever level of commitment you feel able to provide is definitely worth thinking about, because actually there are lots of little projects ranging from, you know, yeah, from small projects to enormous projects going on, and actually people are really keen to have trainees of all levels involved. In fact, it's really important that we have trainees of all levels involved. So if there are things that people would like to do, or if they've got ideas about new things or new projects, definitely get in touch. My contact details are on the college website, and it would be fantastic to hear from you, because I think that there's a place for everyone, and we really want to work to kind of widen access to college affairs to as wide a range of trainees as possible.
And so on your sort of, say, standard committee meeting of the trainees committee, how many other people tend to sort of come along to those, and what generally are their roles?
So there's about kind of probably at each meeting, probably about 25-ish of us. So basically each region of the UK has a regional representative who sits on that trainees committee, and they often will sit on their own regional trainees committees, and they're essentially the conduit to kind of feed information from the region into the college about challenges or, you know, successes that are within training. And then there's a number of subject representatives, so kind of less than full-time representatives, recruitment rep, there's an assessment and exams rep, and a number of others. So it's a relatively large committee, and I suppose that's why I particularly mentioned that it's brilliant that it's so dynamic, because I think that there is a tendency, and I fully understand people's experience of committees is often variable in terms of outcomes, but I think it's a very dynamic group. We've obviously got representation from around the country, so there's lots of different ideas, different kinds of contexts in which people are training, and actually it's really it's exciting to have all those people come together and actually have outcomes that from those meetings and actions. So there's a lot of work done remotely in between the meetings, I suppose, to kind of move things forward.
And when you're meeting, is it largely just trainees, or do you have other representatives from the college itself?
So our trainees committee meetings are the members of the committee, so the trainees, and then we have David Evans, who's the vice president for training, who is there every single time, and then an assortment of other college staff and college officers who join us. So it depends a little bit what we're talking about, but certainly the president has often come in, and, you know, Russell has attended our recent meetings, perhaps not for the whole meeting, but for kind of particularly relevant aspects of it. And then a range of college staff will come, you know, say we're talking about the website, so then someone from the website team will come, or if we're talking about recruitment, then someone from their team will come. It depends a little bit what's on the table, but certainly I think we're very open and encouraging of people coming, and I think it's really important that we get input externally. One of the things that we do is something called show and tell. So trainees in the regional representatives can suggest people from their region who've done exciting or innovative projects that they can come and share with the committee, because one of the things that we obviously want to do is to try and share good practice as much as possible. And that's been fantastic. We've had a whole range of different things. And I think that's a really important way in which people can kind of feed in, and we can spread good practice.
Okay, sounds excellent. And thinking about what your views are on the sort of main function of this committee, is it to give a voice for trainees to sort of, say, other people within the college? Is that how you view it, or?
I think it's partly that. I think it's two way, really. I think it's really important that the trainee voice is coming in, both to the officers at the college, you know, the paediatricians, but also the college staff. But I think it's also an important way of potentially information coming out, because I think one of the challenges is around trying to engage and communicate with as many people as possible who obviously got a million other things going on, huge clinical commitments, not to mention their kind of home life. So I think it's a bit of both. I mean, I'll give you an example. A few people have contacted me recently saying they've had challenges around training with a disability of some form. And we talked about it at one of our meetings, and we then took it forward and talked about it at the heads of school meeting, where all the heads of school from all around the country meet to discuss issues. And we're actually going to produce some guidance for trainers and trainees about, you know, frequently asked questions and a bit of myth busting and a bit about what the legal position is, because actually that's an issue that has come up for a number of trainees, and we want to be really clear as a committee and as a college, what trainees can expect. So I suppose that's something that has been fed in kind of externally, and actually we felt really supported and really listened to in the higher echelons of the college to actually do something about that.
Okay, and when you're sort of communicating to trainees, what do you sort of email, or is it the website? What are the ways that you sort of feed these things back to them?
I mean, we're trying to do as much as possible because I'm aware that people have millions of emails. Yeah. We do use the website a little bit. The regional representatives will usually have the most up-to-date list of their trainees in their region. So that's really the main way in which we cascade information, and similarly information coming in. We often have a section in the e-bulletin which goes out to members who've signed up to the e-bulletin. That we have features in Focus, which is the hard copy that comes through your door with Archives of Disease and Childhood. The number of the committee members are quite active on Twitter, but we're always keen to get to a wider audience. So if people do have suggestions, I would be delighted to hear them, because I think that we definitely could and want to do more to kind of engage a wider group.
Okay, because I think, as you say, quite rightly, people got so many things on personally working towards getting assessments, all those sorts of things. Actually, you kind of get immune to emails and think, oh, it's another thing, I'm going to ignore it. And actually, these are really important issues that we're trying to get, as you say, very clearly, a two-way process. Give us your thoughts and we can feed that back to you.
I mean, I totally agree. And I actually think that in a way, and this is probably no great surprise, one of the best ways to engage people, of course, is in person. And so I think we've tried at every opportunity to, you know, have some kind of college presence or some mention of the college at regional study days, at the college conference. And certainly, I mean, so for example, most recently the trainees committee meeting was held in Belfast, and we were very lucky to be invited the following day to the regional paediatric conference, which happens once a year. And that was a brilliant opportunity to kind of meet face to face with trainees and trainers in a part of the country that lots of people hadn't been to, and that was really exciting. So I think that the face to face is invaluable, actually, and a really nice way, I think, of kind of making it all seem a bit more real and a bit more human.
Okay, slightly controversial question now. Is it much easier for you, because you're a London trainee, to be the chair? One of the things that I think the college often gets accused of is being very London centric. Do you think that's fair, and it's easier because you're based in London?
Yeah, I mean, that's a criticism that I've heard levelled many times. I think there's a real feeling among the doctors, that, you know, the clinicians, but also the college staff, about really working hard to move away from that. And I think, you know, the college itself is obviously in London, and I think that does have an impact in many ways, because, of course, that ends up being the most logical and often the cheapest place to hold meetings. But actually, so certainly the trainees committee, one of our three meetings a year is held outside of London. So we've most recently been to Belfast. Last year we were in Cardiff. Next year we're going to be in Newcastle. And I think that's a really important way of kind of moving the college away from the southeast. I think having regional representatives from each part of the country on the committee is another really important way that we get much more balance in what we do. Similarly with the foundation events that we've been doing for foundation doctors, we've really very consciously tried to be as UK wide as possible. So there was an event just last week in Liverpool, and before that in Bristol. And certainly I know the college on a wider level runs lots of courses outside of London. I think something like a third of their training and courses are run outside of London. So I think it's definitely a criticism I've heard lots, and I think that there's lots of work to address that. And certainly, again, I think if people are keen to host meetings, if people are keen to have the college come to them, I think there's a real sense in which people would be very glad of the invitation.
Okay, well, that's really good to hear. From your perspective, then, moving forward at the moment, what do you see as the sort of key issues that face your committee? I mean, one of the things that I know we briefly talked about on Twitter is that of recruitment to paediatrics and the state that we're in at the moment? Is that something that you're heavily involved in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that occupies a huge amount of my thought. I think it is clearly an issue, and I think both retention has perhaps been a slightly more long-standing issue, and I think now more recently recruitment. I think it's a challenge that has got lots of different causes, and I think as a result we need to have a kind of multifaceted approach in a way. I think there's some kind of top-down stuff around national pilots looking at less than full-time working, for example, for kind of work-life balance reasons. But I also think that there's a huge amount of kind of bottom-up stuff that's really exciting. So these foundation events, supporting the UK aspiring paediatricians, having aspiring paediatricians sessions at the conference, prizes organised by the college. But I think also just the human interaction in day-to-day, you know, actually having foundation doctors for taster weeks, engaging the medical students when they're on your ward, spending the time teaching them, because people really value that. And actually, it's those individual interactions that are the reason that people end up applying for paediatrics when they do.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So if somebody's sort of listening to this and thinking, this sounds quite interesting, actually, I've never thought about applying to a college position before, how would they go about sort of seeing what's available and going about applying?
So if you look on the college website, there's a committee vacancies page. So if you can literally put in the search engine committee vacancies, and that will tell you all the different vacancies that are open currently. If there don't seem to be any that fit your particular interest, then definitely get in touch, because I say there's lots of opportunity to be involved in particular discrete projects, even if you don't feel able or don't feel particularly like any of the positions currently are of interest to you. We'd really love to hear from you.
Okay, well that's great, and certainly we can encourage and put a link up to where people can look for that. Moving on then, one of the things I've seen an awful lot of recently on social media, Twitter in particular, is this Project 2040. Now, I know nothing about it. What is Project 2040?
Okay, so Paediatrics 2040 is a really exciting project driven by the college. And it's really, I suppose, a chance to be a bit more proactive in thinking about how we want and how we hope that paediatrics is going to look in 21 years hence. I think, the background and the context to this is we're all very aware that the nature of our lives, particularly in clinical medicine, in paediatrics, is so often reactive. You know, there's some disaster, immediate disaster, and you have to act now. And I suppose this is an opportunity to kind of look up from the page and think, well, how could things be in 2 decades' time? So essentially, a big call was put out for people to get involved. I think it's fair to say that everyone was astounded by the number of applications. It's really exciting to have people from very junior medical students to very senior consultants apply to be a part of this project. And essentially, there are 4 working groups, which each have a kind of core group and then a wider consultative group. So the first is around data. So this is basically looking at the best data that we have about how many children and young people there'll be by 2040, what their disease burden will be, so kind of modelling the likely changes in the prevalence and incidence of particular diseases, and thinking about what implications that might have for workforce, effectively. Okay. The second stream is innovation, so thinking about what technology is available, how it might affect our practice. So thinking about genomics, thinking about the use of applications, thinking about wearables potentially, virtual reality. So there's a lot of really exciting stuff there, and thinking not just about the actual technology, but about how it might be used. Because of course, lots of this stuff actually exists. And think one of the things that's very interesting is thinking about how we democratise that to some extent to widen the access, so that you don't just have to be in a super duper specialist centre to have access to all this stuff. The third stream is models of care. So that's thinking about where and how we might look after our patients. Actually, do they need to be in hospitals, or will we have moved much more to community-based care, for example? I mean, someone had said that you know, maybe we in 20 years' time we'd be looking at having intensive care units and then everyone else being looked after at home, which kind of feels very radical. But actually, that's one of the exciting things about this project, is that we can kind of look at the evidence available in terms of modelling and in terms of what's been done in other countries to think about how we can optimise what paediatrics looks like. And then the last one is working lives. So that's obviously thinking about kind of, well, a combination of who the workforce might be, but also how we might train them and where they're going to be situated and how they're going to be working in the context of everything else that we are expecting in terms of innovation and how many children and where they might be. So it's a really exciting project.
And how long is it, do you know how long it's planned to sort of run for?
So it's 2 years. So the final report will be out this time, 2 years.
Okay.
So it's quite a tight time frame. But actually, I think that's quite good, because there's a lot of momentum and a lot of excitement building. And I think it's a really good opportunity to kind of galvanise us, look at the best data and imagine, you know, where we're going to be or where we could be. And then, of course, once you've set that out, you then need to start thinking about your roadmap to get there.
Okay. I mean, that sounds really exciting, actually. And much better, as you say, to sort of try and be proactive rather than reactive.
Yeah, I think, I guess, the nature of our working lives is such that you're often forced to do that. And it's not that that isn't important, because clearly a situation arises and you need to react. But I think it's a really exciting opportunity to think a little bit beyond that and, you know, hopefully to have some say in shaping that future for ourselves.
Okay. And are you going to be providing updates to sort of the wider paediatric community as you go along, or is it a document published in a couple of years' time?
So there will probably, so there's certainly going to be some kind of consultation along the way, and anyone that still wants to be involved should definitely get in touch. There's some information on the website, and I'm very happy if people want to contact me and I can send them in the right direction. There are going to be sessions at the college conference in May in Birmingham, and then a roadshow around the country where people have an opportunity to kind of to say their piece and to be involved in the consultation. And then there will be a kind of final launch of a final report. And our hope is that it's very much more than just a PDF that sits gathering dust, but actually that there will be lots of spin-offs in terms of kind of learning and working groups, and some aimed more at kind of the political side of things, and some more at college strategy, and some more at workforce. Yeah.
Okay. So again, anybody who's kind of missed out initially, but was thinking, actually, this is something I'd quite like to be involved in, can they still do that? And what sort of commitment were you typically looking for?
So I think it depends a little bit what people are able to offer. And I think inevitably some of the people who've put themselves forward will want and be able to be involved more than others. In the first instance, if people do want to contact me, and we can maybe have a think about which particular area or the work streams that they're most interested and best suited to, and then we can put you in touch with the people who are leading on those. But certainly it's not too late, and I think certainly with the data and the innovation work streams are kind of focused mostly this year, but the models of care and the working lives, because that depends so much on what the data and the innovation group come up with, that's slightly down the line.
Okay, that's fascinating. And I guess my final couple of questions is, how are you managing to find the time doing that, chairing the committee and working?
I have a very supportive husband, and I get up quite early. I think that there are so many fantastic people. I mean, the trainees committee is absolutely brilliant. So yes, I chair it, but actually a huge amount of the work of the committee is done by all the members who are working on documents and going to other meetings and feeding back in. And I think that's the key with all of these things, isn't it, is to work with a brilliant team, and then actually you all pull together. And in some ways, I guess I see my role in a way as just kind of supporting those people to do all those brilliant things, because actually you can't do everything yourself, and it would be in when the activity did.
Okay. So anybody thinking about it should, you know, drop you a line maybe or
definitely,
you know,
yeah. So
think about it.
We can, and I'm very happy for people to email me or send me a message via Twitter and I can point you in the right direction. I think, I guess my final thought is just to say that I think that it's a really exciting time for the college. So, you know, the officers and the vice president's in at the moment and the president himself, Russell, they're really, really engaged, really keen to hear from trainees and really keen for people to get involved. And the same with the college staff. So if people are interested in getting involved, I think now is really an exciting time to be a part of it.
Fantastic. That I'm re-enthused. Thank you. So thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us, Hannah.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.